You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. Today, I've got Jason Hartman on the show. Jason, how you doing?
Ken, good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. So Jason and I have known each other probably 4 years now. Does that sound about right?
I'd say five.
About 5 years?
Yeah.
Where we've done some business. We've worked with some of his investors on our properties here in Atlanta. And Jason, tell us a little bit about how you got into real estate and how long you've been doing what you're doing.
Well, I know our time's limited, so I'm going to give you this super short story. I've been doing it longer than I want to admit, but I was 16 years old. I grew up in Los Angeles. I grew up kind of poor, never had much money. And, I just didn't want to live that way as an adult. I saw an infomercial for a real estate guru when I was 16. I went out, I got his book. I read three chapters, put it down, didn't think about it again. 2 years later, I'm 18 years old. I'm about to graduate from high school. My mom says, "Hey, Jason," because she picked up the book and read it and got really interested in the topic. And she says, "Hey, Jason, you know, you got me into this real estate thing. There's a big seminar by Disneyland in Anaheim, California. It was near where I lived. This weekend, why don't you come?" So I rounded up nine of my buddies from high school because at that age, you can't do anything alone. At least I couldn't. And I got them all to come to the seminar. Friday night, we're all there. I didn't understand what the speakers were talking about, Ken. And so I remember one of my mentors that I discovered about a year before was Earl Nightingale, along with Jim Rohn, Dennis Waitley, and Zig Ziglar. Great mentors, by the way. Those guys are, or were, I should say, most of them, awesome. And I remember him saying, if you want to get rich in real estate, learn the business first. So I decided I would do that. I plopped down $99 to enroll in Century 21 Real Estate School. I got my license the first year of college, 2 weeks before my 20th birthday. I started selling real estate part-time, and I worked with a lot of investors. I remember the whole reason I got into this was because I wanted to be an investor. And about 6 months after I started, I was now 20 years old. A client of mine had purchased a one-bedroom condo in Huntington Beach, California from me, and he didn't like that property. He didn't like the tenant quality you get in a one-bedroom. And he came back to me and he said, "Hey, Jason, I don't really like this one." He bought some other investment properties from me too. "Why don't you list it for me and get it sold?" And I said, "You know what? Instead of listing it, Jim," his name was Jim, "I'm going to buy it from you." And so that was my first deal when I was 20 years old.
Old, you were buying a condo from one of your clients. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And then I bought my second deal, which might qualify as my best deal ever.
Okay. It's so funny. There's this ongoing theme of folks whose first or second deal is the one that sticks out as one of their best deals, sort of got their feet wet and got them inspired to do more real estate.
Well, one of the things I should mention to your listeners is that, a lot of investors, and I just see it over and over because I've been in the investment-only business for 11 years now, where we work with 100% investors. I had a long career before that in traditional real estate, just regular, buy a house type thing. Mm-hmm. And but one of the things, it's so sad when you see these investors get discouraged by some little bump in the road. Listen, there is nothing without problems. There is nothing in life that is risk-free. Even a bank account has risk because it has inflation risk. Sure. Your money is getting stolen through inflation. And so my first experience, that little Huntington Beach condo, I had to evict the tenant. I had a bad experience. And, turns out I had to evict them. And then I got really sick of the property and I thought maybe my client was right. Right. You're not going to get a good tenant in this kind of property. And I sold it to another real estate broker who was an investor also. And I remember his name was Ron. Don't remember his last name now. But he bought it from me and I made a little bit of a profit on it. Then I did my second deal shortly after that. And that was a great deal,
So. So being in Southern California, obviously you've got some wild market cycles.
Oh yeah, up and down. They're really ugly at the bottom and really nice at the top.
Right. So the second deal, was this one that you bought sort of at the bottom of a California market cycle?
Well, I don't know if it was at the bottom, but it was, I don't know if I knew what a bottom or a top was back then, but you know, I did pretty well on it. And the reason I did well, and one of the great things about income property is, you know, I like to say it's the most historically proven asset class in America, but it's also one of the few asset classes that has universal need. It's the most tax-favored asset class in America, and taxes are the single largest expense any of us have. And it's also the most leverage-favored asset class. And one of the things I really try to teach people nowadays on my podcast is the power of leverage. And there are three main areas where I think people should focus leverage: in their business and professional life, in their investments and personal finance, and of course, nothing's better than real estate for that, and then in their biology, you know, how to hack their biology. I started a new show called The Longevity Show, The Longevity and Biohacking Show, where you can actually get some leverage over your body and your mind and make it more powerful, which has been pretty interesting lately. But on that first deal, I got 100% leverage because I borrowed the down payment from my grandmother. Wow. And I bought that property. I paid $102,000 for it. It was a little condo in Irvine, California. And I lived in it. That's the first time I lived away from home. I moved out of the house and lived in this little condo for 11 months. I sold it to someone who became a very good friend of mine. His name is Mike. And he bought it 11 months later for $160,000. And I'm not saying I was good. I was just lucky, okay? But I'd rather be lucky than good any day of the week anyway. And so, you know, when I look at that, basically, you could say that I put 10% down on the deal. And if you calculated my return on investment, not including the monthly expense of owning it, which would detract from that return, okay, because I lived in it, so that's an expense, that's not a gain, you know, you'd say I made about a 600% gross return on investment. But since I borrowed the down payment from my late grandmother, I really made an infinite return on investment.
Wow.
So I have been in love with real estate for many, many years. I think it's the best thing going.
So you were a 21-year-old kid.
Well, I was 21 by then. I was allowed to drink legally. Not that I didn't do it a little bit before that.
That's why you wanted to move out. That's
there you go. Going. Yeah, absolutely.
So you borrowed the down payment. It was a 10% down deal. It wasn't even your money. It was your grandmother's money. Right. And in 11 months, turned a $102,000 condo into a $160,000 sale.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, there were commissions and closing costs in there. So, you know, that's a gross number. It's very rough. It wasn't really quite that good. But because I didn't have any money in the deal, it was infinite anyway, right?
Sure. So, yeah. And you could say your first real slam dunk deal was a partnership. You just happened to partner with a family member.
Well, I didn't partner. I just borrowed. So I paid her back with interest and okay. Kept the profits, you know, yeah. What any self-respecting grandson would do.
You know, and I think there's a principle to be extracted from there as well. I mean, a lot of times it's the person who's bringing the deal to the table, who's maybe not bringing the equity to the table, but they're finding the deal. And in your case, you know, you're a 21-year-old agent out there looking for the right deal, and you were able to bring the equity to the table through your grandmother.
Yeah, right. And right. Yeah. It's a good point.
Profiting very handsomely.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Nowadays, though, I've really graduated into being a cash flow investor because I have just never met anybody, Ken. And I know there are some gurus who profess that they can do it, but they aren't right as often as they would have you believe, just so everybody knows, that they can predict appreciation or depreciation, and they can really predict those cycles. Sure. And I've never seen anybody do it in all my years of doing this. Sure. So I just much prefer, maybe I'm becoming more conservative, but I just much prefer investing for cash flow.
Sure.
I mean, if you can consistently earn an overall return on an investment of 20, 30, 40, 45% return on investment. I mean, how much do you really need? I mean, that's phenomenal, you know?
Yep.
And you can't get as much leverage nowadays as you used to be able to in the past. You know, the lenders have probably overcorrected a bit, and the pendulum's always swinging back and forth in terms of lending requirements and how liberal or conservative they're going to be. It's just great having cash flow. It's very reliable. Appreciation is very unpredictable.
Sure. Well, and it's. I think there's a distinction between folks who are investing and folks who are running a business. You know, some people listening to this podcast want to be in the business of flipping houses. And that's different than a passive investor who's investing for cash flow but wants to be hands off.
That's a good distinction. And also, some people consider themselves flippers who really, you know, a lot of those people get burned because they just don't really have the infrastructure and they're not in the business. See, I think if you're a flipper versus a buy and hold investor, you are really in the profession of doing that versus being someone who's an investor. Investing, the connotation, at least for me with investing, is that you buy it, you maybe do a little bit of work to research it, to put the deal together, but then you just let it ride and you just oversee it. That's an investor to me. Okay. Someone who is actively out there, you know, talking with contractors, meeting with contractors, swinging a hammer, you know, looking at this deal, that deal, a couple deals a day. That's someone who's in the profession.
Sure.
Oh, that's not investing.
Sure.
Okay. And, you know, you can make money in business or you can make money in investing. I say we've all got to do both.
Right.
We have our job or our business. That's our active income. And so I just wanted to distinguish that about flippers. Then we have our investments. And that no investment, by the way, is totally passive either, in my opinion.
Right.
But it's much more passive, much less active.
Obviously, this is something that's near and dear to you because it's a big part of your business. Maybe tell us a little bit more about your podcast and Platinum Properties and, you know, what you preach through your network.
Yeah, so I had a traditional real estate company that I sold to Coldwell Banker 10 years ago. And when they bought that company, I just thought I would kind of retire for a while, but I don't think I have the personality for that. Unfortunately, I like to be busy. And you know, but I knew I would have a big check coming, a big capital gain, and I had to invest that money. And I did not want to have all my eggs in one geographical basket. And I looked around for a way to take the most historically proven asset class, income property, but diversify geographically, diversify nationwide, because there's an old saying in real estate that, you know, probably most people listening to your show will have heard, and it's all real estate is local. So I say take that most historically proven asset class, but diversify geographically. So I couldn't find anybody to really help me do this, at least not anybody that was doing it well at all. And so I basically had to create my own company that does that. And that's what we do. We help people develop nationwide income property portfolios. We're not in the business of speculating and gambling. We have a very conservative, very proven approach. And that's what we do. And so I started a podcast years ago called The Creating Wealth Show. And I'm happy to say that it usually is right up there on iTunes in the top 10 for sure, top 5 even, of all real estate podcasts. And so so it's a great show, and I've interviewed people like you and many other experts on various aspects of income property and real estate investing.
So Jason, I appreciate you sharing with us about your Creating Wealth podcast. How can folks find you on the internet?
Just go to jasonhartman.com. That's my real estate investment company. And if you're interested in some of the other topics we do podcasts on, we have my other company, the Hartman Media Company, runs a whole network of shows. We actually have 20 different podcast shows, over 2,000 episodes. And that's at hartmanmedia.com. But for real estate investing, it's my name, jasonhartman.com.
Perfect. And we'll make sure we put his website and his other contact information on our show notes. So be sure to check that out at dealfarm.net. Jason, thanks so much for being on the show with us.
Hey, thanks, Ken, and happy investing to you and your listeners.
You as well. Take care. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. In an effort to get our podcast off the ground and as much traction as possible, we have a favor to ask. And in return, we're going to give you a free t-shirt. That's right, a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt mailed directly to your address. We just ask you to do five simple things to help us get this thing off the ground. Number one, if you would subscribe to us in iTunes. Number two, if you would like our page in Facebook. Number three, if you would share our page in Facebook. And number four, if you would follow us on Twitter. And lastly, number five, if you would download all of our episodes in iTunes. So initially, we're going to have a between 30 to 40 episodes when we launch the podcast. We would just ask that you download all of those episodes through iTunes. So once you do that, just send us an email to offers@dealfarm.net. Give us your name, your address, and your t-shirt size, and we will mail you a free t-shirt. Now, all of that said, we don't necessarily have a way to know if you downloaded all of our episodes, so some of this is on the honor system. We're going to trust that if you say you downloaded all of them, that you actually downloaded all of them. And when you do all five of those things, again, real quick, if you would subscribe through iTunes, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and download our episodes through iTunes, we will send you a free t-shirt. Thanks so much, and I hope you take advantage of this free offer.